welcome to Cornerstone Live. We're so excited that you've decided to join us again today. I'm going to open with a scripture from Psalm 57 as we prepare ourselves for worship. Psalm 57, verse 1. Please, God, show me mercy. Open your grace fountain for me, for you are my soul's true shelter. I will hide beneath the shadow of your embrace, under the wings of your cherubim, until this terrible trouble is past. I will cry out to you, the God of the highest heaven, the Almighty God, who performs all these wonders for me. From heaven, he will send a father's help to save me. He will trample down those who trample me. My heart, O God, is quiet and confident. Now I can sing with passion your wonderful praises. Awake, O my soul, with the music of his splendor song. Arise, my soul, and sing his praises. My worship will awaken the dawn, greeting the daybreak with my songs of praise. Wherever I go, I will thank you, my God. Among all the nations, they will hear my praise songs to you. Your love is so extravagant, it reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness so astounding, it stretches to the sky. Lord God, be exalted as you soar throughout the heavens. May your shining glory be shown in the skies. Let it be seen high above all the earth. Before I pray, I just want to share an experience that I had this morning in my own devotions. As I was thinking about the Lord bringing us under his shadow, I closed my eyes and I saw a picture of a cabin. There was a storm raging outside, and as I came up to the door, it was as though the Lord opened the door and grabbed me, pulled me inside where it was safe. There was a fire burning, and he was there to shelter me until the storm passed. Father, I thank you that you are our shelter in the midst of life's storms. And I thank you for your abiding presence. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your faithfulness. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to find our refuge, to find our source of joy and peace and confidence in you as we put our trust in you. And this morning, I pray that you would help us to gather our families around us and to welcome your presence into our homes and into our hearts. Holy Spirit, be exalted among us as we worship you today, in Jesus' name.
He's got the whole world in his hands. Come on, let's just begin to worship him this morning. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence. We invite your presence into this empty room. We invite your presence into our homes, God. We invite your presence into the darkness, God. We invite the light of your presence, Lord, where fear may abound. God, that your grace would abound so much more. God, we bless you. Lord, you're watching over us. Lord, there's not a hair that falls from our head that you don't know about. There's not a sparrow in the field that you don't take care of. God, we're thankful. We're thankful for life. We're thankful for breath, for provision, God. We thank you. We bless you. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. Been so, so kind to me. Ooh. Come on, just join me in your homes.
There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down. You're coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up. You're coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up. You're coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down. You're coming after me. There's no shadow. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up. You're coming after me.
Good morning and welcome to Cornerstone Fellowship. We're hoping that your families are doing well and you're surviving, you're thriving during this time of, could we call it like a Selah? You know, in the Psalms, whenever you are supposed to take a rest and think about what he just said, or maybe a musical rest, it's called in Hebrew Selah. So maybe we're not in lockdown, maybe we're in Selah. I don't know. Either way, you're probably tired of it as I am. I wanted to share with you some more today from John 11 and Jesus' interaction with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. In that story I had shared last week, and I hope you get a chance to look at the YouTube channel and see the story that I had shared called Tears by the Tomb. In that, I jumped ahead in the story to when Lazarus was now buried and in the tomb, and Jesus was moved by that. He was touched by the grief. He was feeling grief himself. He was experiencing grief. And so the question I asked last week is, you know, where is God and what does he feel when we're going through things like we're going through right now? And the obvious thing is he's right where he always was. And Jesus proves once and for all that, you know, that God feels what we feel. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Now I want to go, so this is like 4 days earlier, if you can imagine in this play or in this story. If now, today, the scene would be 4 days before that event at the tomb. In John 11, 1 through 16, we're going to look at some scriptures here in just a moment, but I think what I want to do is answer this question. You know, what do you do when you don't know what to do? And what do you say when you don't know what to say? Probably more importantly, how do we pray? What do we pray when we don't know how to pray? What should we do? What should we say? And what can we pray? Or maybe we could call this when heaven listens. When heaven listens. There's a scripture in Joshua, and when Joshua was fighting against the inhabitants of Cana, and he had just finished fighting with the city of Ai, and he destroyed that city. And then he was up against the Gibeonites, and the Gibeonites, they just surrendered. And now he's up against another army. And the battle was going well, but the sun was starting to go down. And Joshua did the unthinkable. He looked at the sky, and he commanded the sun to stand still. And the scriptures record that for almost a day that the sun stood still. And this is the verse then that is written about that event. In Joshua 10:14 says, "There was no day like that before it or after when the Lord listened to the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel." Can you imagine when the Lord actually listens to the voice, or when heaven listens to the voice of a man? That intrigues me, because Jesus is the New Testament Joshua. In fact, that's what his name means. Joshua, he's a savior. Yeshua, Jesus is the same derivative, and his name means savior as well. So Jesus, as the New Testament Joshua, here to deliver his people, he prays prayers that heaven listens to. And I'm just intrigued by that. I don't think that Jesus is in danger of me becoming too like him, but I am intrigued by his life and his lifestyle and his prayer. And if he is the Son of God, capital S, and I'm an adopted son of God, is it possible to pray prayers that heaven will listen to? I surely hope so. And I want to explore what Jesus did and how he reacted, and see if there's any sense or anything that we can learn, anything we can glean about how Jesus spoke, how he acted, how he reacted, and how he prayed. So in John 11, verse number 1, you'll read that a certain man was sick. His name was Lazarus. He was of Bethany, the village of Mary and Martha, her sister. It was this Mary that anointed Jesus with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him, to Jesus. The sisters send word to Jesus. Jesus is on the other side of the Jordan. He's about 18 miles away. You have to remember, this is before cell phones. She didn't text him. She didn't call him. She sent word by a messenger, a trusted friend. The messenger comes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, I have a message for you from Mary and Martha. And they want you to know that the one that you love, your friend, your good friend in Bethany, is sick, very sick. And Mary and Martha are requesting that you do something." I don't know if you catch in that. A request is, you know what prayer is. I mean, petitions are requests. So we could call it prayer. Mary and Martha sent word. You could call that prayer. And one of the first things I notice when I read the story is that the petition came with this caveat: the one that you love. And no one refuted that. Jesus didn't refute it. But when Jesus heard this, he said, "This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it." I want to come back to that in just a moment. But if I could just say for a moment here, if this is in the context of prayer, I want us to capture what Jesus said, what he didn't say, how he acted, what he didn't do. One thing we can say for certain is that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. So there's never any question about God's love. When we make a request, the very basic thing we need to remember is that he loves us. I'm going to continue reading in verse number 6. Verse 5, I'm sorry. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Look, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And then the next verse says, so when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. The delay did not bring into question God's love at all. It didn't bring any question to the fact that God loved them. He did. But there was a delay, and there's a reason for the delay. The scriptures doesn't tell us what the reason is, but we have to just trust that Jesus was not just, you know, puddle jumping or, you know, delaying, kicking around just to make things more difficult. He actually had purpose, so he was about his business. And then the scripture says, Jesus replied and said, he says to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you there, and are you going to return there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. This he said to them, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep. The disciples then said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may know and believe. But let us go to him. Therefore Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us go also, so that we may die with him. Which, by the way, that's the same Thomas who we sometimes call the doubting Thomas. I don't know how much Thomas actually doubted. I think that Thomas actually loved Jesus very much. And when he heard the resurrection story, he wanted to know for sure that it was really his friend Jesus that had risen from the dead. That's another story for another day. So how does a man pray or a woman pray so that heaven might listen? We can learn some things in this story from Jesus that I want to point out to you. First of all, I think that we should be talking to Jesus because he loves us. Let's not start talking to Jesus so that he would love us. I think that it's beautiful to establish a relationship with the Lord where you're talking with him on a regular basis. The psalmist talked about the secret place. He that abides or dwells in the secret place will dwell under the shadow of the Almighty, the secret place. For David, a secret place was a fortress that he could go to and he could lay down and sleep and rest. A soldier needs a place where he is protected when he is sleeping or resting. And all of us need some place where we can rest. And Jesus taught us this, that we can rest in this, that the Father loves us. And so he said, when you pray, you should enter your closet or your secret place, and you should shut the door behind you. And if you pray in secret, the Father who sees you praying in secret will reward you openly. Now that, to me, that's something that eluded me for so long. Just, you know, how to do that, how to make that practical. How, you know, we're not called to be monks living in a monastery. We live busy lives. There's a lot going on, our families and all around us. But how is it that we can take time? Excuse me, this is slipping off. How is it that we can take some time and literally go into a closet, shut the door, and it's not ignoring the world, it's actually focusing on God. So we just get into a place where we can focus on God and listen to Him. And I just want to encourage you to go talk to Jesus every day. In this Selah moment, if we don't learn how to do this now, folks, we'll never learn how to do it. Unless some tragedy bigger than this, you know, comes our way that really gets our attention. But I'm going to tell you, I put myself right there. As a pastor, it's so easy to let the ministry and all the things that we've got to do and prepare for and all of the busy work that comes with pastoring and life and leading a family. It's really easy to think that we're spending time with Jesus and not actually spend quality time with Him. And I found myself in that situation not too long ago, and I'd like to tell you about that in just a moment. But if I could just share this one thing one more time with you, talk to Jesus because He loves you. Don't talk to Him so that maybe you could convince Him to love you. That's not the way to enter the secret place. Enter the secret place with confidence that He already loves us. And it's actually Him that's going to meet us there. He's the host. Friendship with Jesus had already been established with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. That had already been established. And, you know, while we're here, let me just take this moment and ask you, have you invited Jesus into your home? Dads, moms, you know, singles, retirees, grandparents, whoever you are today, I just want to ask you this question. Have you invited Jesus into your home? It's amazing how He wants to be a part of our homes, how we need to bring Jesus back into our homes. Secondly, give glory to God in heaven before you see the glory on the earth. Now, there's two reasons why we make a petition. And by the way, there's all kinds of prayers, all kinds of ways of praying. I'm talking about the petition right now. When you're in trouble and you don't know what to say, you don't know what to pray, and all of a sudden you know that you just have got to make a petition. You've got to appeal. Jesus, someone you love very much is very sick or whatever, fill in the blank. When you're making this petition, it's for two reasons. Jesus taught us here that this situation that was in front of Him that they were so concerned about, that they were praying about. The first and foremost reason that we should make our petition is so that Jesus would be glorified. So when we pray in Jesus' name and He answers the prayer, He gets the credit. And by getting the credit for that, we glorify Him. The second reason why we should make our petition is so that our joy might be full. A lot of people miss this, but in just a couple of chapters, Jesus is going to say, if you abide in Me, this is back to the secret place again, My words abide in you, again, spending time with Jesus. If you're talking with Him and listening to Him and learning from Him, if you abide in Him and His words abide in you, then you can ask what you want and it will be done. And at the end of that, Jesus looked at His disciples and He said, I'm telling you this so that your joy might be full. Let me tell you, there is nothing like the joy that comes, like when your back has been against a wall and you didn't know what to say, you didn't know what to do, and you prayed and God answered your prayer. Then your joy is full. So this is for two reasons. Petition is for two reasons. One is so that your joy might be full. We have someone to go to. And the second thing is to give glory to God. And by the way, let me just say, with respect to the COVID virus, when we talk about this, it's just been provoking me lately that we, you know, the what we call the COVID virus or the coronavirus. That word corona comes from coronation. Coronation is when a king has been crowned. And the reason they gave it that name is because under a microscope, the little virus looks a little bit like a crown, you know. And I just feel like it's time for for me, I'm going to say for myself, it's time for me to stop glorifying this virus and start glorifying Jesus. He's the one who should be glorified. So Jesus said to whoever heard, I guess it was his disciples around him, this sickness will not end in death. That's a word from God. And then he said, this is for the glory of God. So give glory to God in heaven before you see glory on the earth. How does that look? You know, we pray our prayer, we make our prayer, your kingdom come to our friend Lazarus. May this sickness go in Jesus' name. And then we start thanking Jesus. We start glorifying him. Don't glorify the sickness. Don't glorify how bad he is and how close to death he is. Let's glorify and magnify Jesus. Third, walk in the light that you have rather than cursing all the darkness that is around you. Jesus said that we need to go while it's day. And I think there's something about walking in the light that you have. In other words, when you don't know what to do and you've prayed your prayer and you've started to glorify God, then do what we know to do. In other words, we know that we're supposed to enter his courts with thanksgiving and into his gates with praise. So we can give thanksgiving, we can praise. We know that we're supposed to turn from evil and grab and cling to what is good. You know, there's things that we know to do. We're to use wisdom. I think we should wash our hands. I probably don't wash my hands as much as I should, but you know what I'm saying? We should do what we know to do and what we are capable of doing. So walk in the light that you have. I wish I had more time to go into that, but let's just move on to the fourth and last one. And that is that physical sleep is good for our body, but spiritual sleep is death to the soul. Now that's something I just need to talk with you about for a moment. Almost 3 years, in fact, this July, it'll be 3 years ago, and I've told this story to the church countless times and wherever I can, and the Lord gave me this assurance that as long as I keep sharing the story, he'll keep giving me opportunities to share the story. But I was on my way to, you know, get a cup of coffee at the local coffee shop, and I got stopped at a red light. I'm waiting. It's a divided highway, four lanes, two lanes each direction. I'm in the right lane, and as I'm sitting there waiting for the light to turn green, I look to my left, and a car pulls up beside me. And there's a young man driving and a young woman as his passenger, and she was asleep. She was leaning against the window, so she's really just outside, you know, just a few feet away from my reach. And I looked over, and as as the young man saw this opportunity, He, sitting there at the red light, he decides to get up and to reach over, and he kissed the young lady on the forehead, very politely, right on the forehead. And I suppose he expected her to wake up. She didn't wake up, so he kissed her again and again and again. And then finally she woke up. When she woke up, she was so happy to see him, so glad she realized what was going on, and she immediately kissed him in return. It was just an immediate embrace, and it was just very, very pure, very, very affectionate, and to me, I mean, even though it was sort of a private moment, they were not being very private about it, so I got to see two people in love. But as soon as the light turned green and they pulled out and pulled away, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. And he said to me, Rich, that's what I'm trying to do with my bride. I'm trying to wake her up with kisses. And, you know, when that just gripped me, you know. I thought about that for days afterwards. I shared that in the church you know, of course it had a big impact on us all, but then I had to start thinking about, like, how do you live this out? How do you walk this out? And this is where the Lord began to deal with me about my prayerlessness or my lack of spending time sequestered in my secret place. So I began to take, and I have it just off stage here, an hourglass that my kids give to me. I took this hourglass, and it's really, I'm telling you, it's like an hour. I mean, some days it's longer than an hour, but most of the time it's an hour. And I would turn it over, And I'd say, Lord, I'm not leaving until the sand is gone. And so what do you do then? Well, you know, it's time to pray. It's time to talk to the Lord. And I discovered the Psalms. I started praying through the Psalms. I started praying in the Spirit. I started praying through my understanding, just pouring my heart out to the Lord, you know. And I'd look at the sand and say, oh, this is the, you know, like, I feel like 45 minutes is left, and you'd have thought that was 3 hours, you know? But I just had to keep working with that. Like I could look at my watch, and I think I could justify getting up and leaving, but when it came to the sand, I couldn't leave until the sand was gone, you know? So I was captive. I was in God's embrace. And so there were many days when the Lord would say, you know, after the sand was gone out, you know, do you want to stay another hour? And so I would. I would turn it over and stay another. Sometimes it was 2 or 3 hours. You know, I don't think the length of time is what matters. I think it's the quality of the time that we spend. But for me, I needed to make myself still and quiet and listen and learn. What I didn't realize, it felt like punishment. It felt like I was doing some kind of penance, you know. But after a while, it became a delight. And what I found out, now I can tell you, it's like today, what has fueled me and carried me through this whole crisis has been those days in prayer. That time alone with God has prepared me for this day like nothing else could. And I got to tell you, I don't think I would have weathered this particular crisis myself had it not been for those days. And as long as God gives me life and breath, I'm just going to keep encouraging everybody I know that we get this great privilege of actually cultivating a relationship with Jesus that is bigger and greater than anything else we do, perhaps. And I think that the great privilege is you start to actually kind of understand, like, don't, again, I'm not Jesus, and his position is not in jeopardy at all with me. But I think I can understand why he would say, you know, from this point on in my life, I'm not going to do anything, but I see the Father doing it. I'm not going to say anything but what I hear the Father saying. I think that I can say honestly, I get God more than I did. And that would be my prayer for you when you don't know what to do, when you don't know what to say, when you don't know what to pray. I would just encourage you to learn from Mary and Martha and their situation. And I tell you, they had a happy ending, really. But learn from this situation and understand that the Lord is actually inviting us into a relationship. It's not that we have to pray. We get to. We get to spend time with Him. Would you please pray with me? Father, I thank you so much for your great mercy to me, your great kindness to us. Father, I thank you that Jesus not only shed tears at Lazarus' graveside, but he also a few weeks later shed blood at Calvary, proving once and for all, there's no question about it, he loves us. You love us. You died so that could be forgiven. And Father, I'm praying for those that hear my voice, that there's some of them who don't know you at all. And I pray that they would sense the Holy Spirit calling them and drawing them to Jesus so that they might repent of their sin and call on your name and begin a relationship that is satisfying to them and to you. Then I pray, Father, for those of us, maybe like I admitted myself, you know, I just didn't make the time, didn't take the time, and found myself caught up doing things that needed to be done, when really what you were asking from me first and foremost is to spend time with you. Lord, I pray that as much as we have spent time with our families, and you know, for that I thank you, Lord, for the time we've been able to spend with our family. But I also pray that we would find time to spend with you so that you would begin to release on this earth a tribe of people, men and women, young people. Father, I pray a tribe of people who know how to sit down and hear the voice of God and spend time with you so that when we pray our prayers, that heaven listens. Father, I just thank you so much for the encouragement of Jesus' prayer at the end of this story when he prayed to you and he said, Father, I know that you always hear my prayer. God, I thank you for the privilege of knowing that you always hear our prayers. We thank you. Amen.
Father of kindness, you have poured out grace. You brought me out of darkness. You filled me with peace. And giver of mercy, you are my help in time. My confidence, yeah.
promises, oh, your promises are yes and amen.
Hi, Pastor Rich Klein here from Cornerstone Fellowship. Thank you so much for joining us in the service today. You have no idea how much passion we have to see you know and to love Jesus and to worship Him with us. We really just desire to see everyone know the love and the joy that we have found in Jesus Christ. So we invite you to accept Christ as your Savior. Please do so. It is the most important decision you could ever make. And if I could just give a shout out to Dave and Hannah. They led worship here today, and Jim and Joelle and Zich backing them up. What a great team. We thank God for them. And Dave and Hannah, we love you, and thank you so much for your worship. Also, we'd like to invite you to visit our new website. Our website is www.cfaog.org, Cornerstone Fellowship Assembly of God.org. Please visit the website. Shout out to Joe Ranney, who developed that site for us. Great job, Joe. And you should be able to find all that you need to stay connected, and we desperately want to stay connected, and it's becoming more and more of a challenge in this particular situation we're in. But God bless you. You just have a great week, and if you're interested in a Zoom call or you just need someone to talk to, please call us at 717-737-1903. God bless you. Have a great day.